This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Jews and Muslims, Arabs and Israelis were always destined to be together. And since we live in the same region, the Middle East, it would be better for us and for our region, for our children and grandchildren to live in peace, prosperity, security, rather than just living in a continuous conflict.
What do you know about the United Arab Emirates? Isn't it time to engage with Israel's newest go-ahead partner in peace? I've just returned from my first ever trip there to an Arab nation. I went to the capital city, Abu Dhabi, to the Global Media Congress, an impressive showcase of regional media with exhibitors from further afield, including the Philippines, Azerbaijan, Russia, and Israel. It's a place where East meets West. My guest today is so typical of the spirit of big-heartedness there. His name is Lo'e Al-Sharif. He gave me a very personal guided tour of the Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque, in which we talked about the differences between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. But more importantly, their parallels, what binds us as people of faith, in a world where secularity can sometimes get ahead of itself. The UAE is not a democracy, it's a kingdom.
To be very honest, I will say that democracy can be the way, but not for all. So democracy could be great for the Brits, or could be great for the Americans, or could be great for the Europeans, but for us Arabs, we are Bedouins, we are nomads. We are like people who used to live in the desert with a tribe leader. We follow the tribe leader. We follow the leader. And this is why we are more into monarchies. We are monarchists, if that is the word in English. So I don't want to say democracy is let down or so, but I would say that democracy doesn't work for us. It doesn't work here. And this is why you see the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and other monarchies, they stood still when the Arab Spring struck in 2011.
It's a fascinating answer. There's a conformity and modesty in the dress of both men and women, and women are more modern than they were a generation ago, whatever their age. I'm told marriage is being put off by some in pursuit of professional life. Women play their part in public, lead businesses, deal with men who treat them respectfully in public. The UAE has a Ministry of Tolerance, whose chief gave a keynote speech at the Congress, calling for delegates to use their media power to expunge stereotypes and ignorance of other nations, to build bridges in the pursuit of human unity, even with partners who they may still have fundamental, outstanding differences with. But they're also very much a nation state, with a defined national story, a founder, Sheikh Zayed, and a magnificent foundation stone in the form of that grand mosque. It's all very, very contemporary, very 21st century. They view the other countries of the Arabian Gulf as one people. UAE nationhood is wrapped up in Islam, an Islam of tolerance and engagement. Why? Because they're a nation in a hurry, to build and create, to diversify from 20th century oil to new digital and climate economies. They need the best talent from around the world to help them do it, and they want them now. And so, just 12% of the country is Emirati, the remaining 88% is made up of foreigners. Like London, 200 languages are spoken among its people. Lo'e is outward-looking and educated internationally. He's a student of languages, an alumnus of Penn State University. He's a computer engineer by qualification, loves nothing more than assembling them. Lo'ei is also fluent in Hebrew, tweets in Ivrit, he's conversant with the Torah. The Global Media Congress included a rainbow-coloured police car. The Abu Dhabi Constabulary have a charm offensive. It's called the Happiness Patrol. Yep, there's a ministry for that too.
When we stop some people, and sometimes, the people, why you stop me? I am following all of the rules. Why you stop me? I am not stopping you to give you a ticket. I will give you a small gift from me. This is Happiness Patrol.
We'll have more from my favourite officer later in the show.
Johnny Gould's Jewish date at the Global Media Congress in Abu Dhabi.
Lo'ei al-Sharif, here in the United Arab Emirates. Welcome to Johnny Gould's Jewish State.
It's a real pleasure and privilege to be with you here, Johnny.
I feel exactly the same way. I've made my first ever trip to the UAE. It's exactly as I imagined, but more so. You know, sometimes when you see a photograph of something, you see the reality. It's greater. You have shown me Abu Dhabi, this glorious capital city.
I hope you enjoyed the mosque.
The mosque was amazing.
Yeah, the mosque, Sheikh Zayed Mosque, is what I call the mixture between modernity and Islamic architecture. So it's a real hot spot for anyone to see when they come to Abu Dhabi.
What is so fascinating about the building is it's a narrative. It is the foundation stone of the national story, and it's so contemporary. And of course, the Jewish people have the Kotel, the Wailing Wall.
Yes.
But this is something created in the 21st century.
And it took, you know, 2 years only. It took 2 years to build the Sheikh Zayed Mosque.
You got good builders.
And it ended in 2007. It was inaugurated in 2007. But it's really the foundation stone of that tells the story of this country.
What's so interesting about that is this idea of national unity. And the country developed a new pillar, a constitution, if you like, about what it sees itself into the future. Tolerance through national unity, through the delivery to a unified human society. These are massive ideas. This requires a vision which actually in this world doesn't exist at the moment, but it is something to achieve. But you're living by these things in terms of foreign policy, and this is probably why the Emirates has grown so fast, so quickly.
And this is also what I say, that these are the values that we need in the 21st century. And as you said, Johnny, it's not only because the UAE is a wealthy country, it's because the UAE has vision. So that you have so many countries that are wealthy, but they lack the vision. So this is why you don't see them prosper and advance and progress like the UAE.
The UAE is a monarchy. Britain is a democracy. Do you think in the 21st century, democracy is being let down? It is too divisive. And that if you have a good king, a beneficent leader, though in a dictatorial way, actually that benefits the country itself.
To be very honest, I will say that democracy can be the way, but not for all. So democracy could be great for the Brits, or could be great for the Americans, or could be great for the Europeans. But for us Arabs, we are Bedouins, we are nomad. We are like people who used to live in the desert with a tribe leader. We follow the tribe leader, we follow the leader. And this is why we are more into monarchies. We are monarchists, if that is the word in English. So I don't want to say democracy is let down or so, but I would say that democracy doesn't work for us. It doesn't work here. And this is why you see the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and other monarchies, they stood still when the Arab Spring struck in 2011. So I always say to my American friends or my European friends, democracy, maybe it's good for you, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's good for us.
That's a fascinating answer. In Britain, we live in a multi-ethnic society. Some people call it multicultural. That presents in itself a problem in the sense that multiculturalism doesn't always mean that there is an indigenous society which is recognized. So I like to use the word multi-ethnic in terms of, for example, the Jewish state. And people will be surprised that in this monarchy, despite it being very, very clearly a Gulf Arab state, only 12% of the population is Gulf Arab. 88% of people are foreign.
Yes, and there's a word for Sheikh Zayed about that. When Sheikh Zayed was asked about the percentage of foreign workers, he said the land is the land of God and the opportunity is out there for those who want to take it. He was very open to making this country progress and make it a prospering country. And it's open for everyone to come. And for the indigenous people, yeah, it is true that it's like 12%. But I always say that in the UAE, to be very honest, everyone is looked and treated the same. You will never feel the difference between a citizen and a non-citizen. And that's what really matters most, in my opinion. And I see that people here are very open, very tolerant. There is no hate speech. And of course, the law here is very strict because people are used to the idea of living with other nations, with other ethnic groups. There are 200 plus nationalities living here in the UAE. It's not only, I don't remember how many nations are there in the UN. I think 195. So there are 200 plus. There are more nations living in the UAE than those registered in the UN. So this makes everyone, it would never make people say that this is a bad or a negative thing. It's always looked at as something good. But as I told you, the indigenous people are keeping their tradition, keeping their way of living, and it's going good so far.
Here we are at the Global Media Congress, which is a burgeoning media industry. The job is to project the Emirates and the Gulf Arab nations to the world in a way that is beneficent to this place. And as if to demonstrate that, I sat in a presentation called Tolerance, mm-hmm. from the Ministry of Tolerance.
From the Ministry of Tolerance.
There is a Ministry of Tolerance.
There is a Ministry of Tolerance and there is a Minister of Tolerance, Sheikh Nahyan bin Mubarak, and because tolerance is one of the important pillars that the UAE believes in, and it's a very important thing that the leaders of this country want to populate and want to even tell the world that this is the model that we think would make our world a better place. Speaking of tolerance, the inauguration of the Abrahamic House is happening very soon. The Abrahamic House that holds a mosque next to a church, next to a synagogue in a Muslim country, that's phenomenal, I believe. And the principles of tolerance, the principles of coexistence are vital in this country, and this is why there is a Ministry of Tolerance for that.
I listened to the speech in English, and again, these values are absolutely enormous, and there is a lack of cynicism here. I tweeted it, and I was wondering what I would get back putting it out on Twitter, because your Minister of Tolerance said, "You media delegates, go out there and use the media to rid ourselves of stereotypes, to rid ourselves of ignorance, and to project a humanity which is common to everyone, and that we should all come together in a unified society." For that, I'd say amen. But there are a lot of people out there who cannot, for whatever reason, reach that vision. Everything is about huge visions which are not yet for this world, but are being aimed at by this country.
I agree with you. And when you say that there are some people who don't accept that, I believe it's because of education. It's because how people brought up, because how, and I would have to say, in our Arab world, the idea of tolerance, in our faith, the idea of tolerance is there, in our faith, Islam. In our Arab world, because of the geopolitics, because of so many causes that happened in the past century, I would say, in the past 100 years, it made people think differently, and the idea of coming together, as you said, is not that popular. It needs to go deep down in education to teach people more about accepting others, and this is why the UAE is doing this, because I believe it's better to start, better come late than never come up, or never come as at all.
More from Lo'ay in a moment as we talk about the hope for Jewish and Muslim reconciliation. But as promised, let's check in with my friend in the Abu Dhabi police at the Global Media Congress.
I am Captain Faisal Rashid Al-Dantani from Abu Dhabi Police, Happiness Patrol.
Sir, thank you very much for joining me on this show. I walked past your car. It says Happiness Patrol. And I'm told that you stop people and instead of telling them off for speeding, you say, congratulations for your good driving. This can't be true.
Yes, we want to change the mind about the people, about police. We want to give another opinion about police. Police not all the time want to catch you, to get a criminal, to give you a ticket. Not all the time. If you're following the rule, if you are driving well in the street, following the rule, making seat belt, making signal, everything fine with you, we are stopping you. We give you a small gift from us. When we stop some people, and sometime, the people, why you stop me? I am following all of the rules. Why you stop me? I am not stopping you to give you a ticket. I will give you a small gift from me. This is Happiness Patrol. And we are also stopping the people, they're not following the rule. When we stop him, we give him a warning ticket. We have something, it's a name warning ticket. It's come SMS to your phone. It's have a small video about the fine you are doing if you don't wearing seat belt or crossing a red light or something.
This is a far cry from where we are in the UK, which is going through an issue of trust with its metropolitan police.
Yeah.
So what you're providing is outreach on behalf of the police service of Abu Dhabi. Has it changed the relationship that you have with your citizens?
Yeah, you know, the relationship here in UAE, it's like family. We are happiness people. We don't want anyone to get worried from police. The criminal is a criminal, but the people, the cultural here, it's all community and all together. And we want to send message to all people in the UAE, visitor or worker here. Abu Dhabi police is not all the time give you ticket, give you fine. We are helping you. We know the Happiness Patrol here is sending message. The UAE government, it's all the time let people understand meaning of happiness. The idea of this Happiness Patrol, it's come of Ministry of Happiness. It's come to the 2070 in UAE. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum make it in UAE Minister of Happiness. I don't know if you hear about it, but the idea of Happiness Patrol come from that.
And it's not just the police then, there's other layers of industry and service in the country which is related to the metrics of happiness.
Yes.
Like what?
You know, this is the Happiness of Patrol. It's come to employee and customer. We are trying to help customer with everything we can. Like you should not come to customer service to help you. We can help you from your home. We have application and we have people going to home and give the service to you in your home. We should not come to us. We going to you. And about employee also, we give him good education, good health.
Thank you very much for your interview.
I think that my message is coming to you.
Very much so. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And while you're here, scroll back to my previous episode with Jerusalem's Deputy Mayor, Fleur Hassan Nahum.
Look at MBS. MBS has actually done a veritable, very slow and quiet revolution in this country. And again, in the Arab world, you have to remember, everything is baby steps, like I said, at Lebanon. So the fact that women can now drive in the Saudi, you know, a Westerner hears this and goes, what? This is what you're clinging on to? But it's a step in a very conservative country. It's a step towards something else. The fact that Israeli companies are now working in Saudi is a step towards something else. And so we have to be patient. I think Israelis are very impatient people.
Yes.
And the Arabs are people who cook slowly. Mm-hmm. In other words, they need to build trust and they need to get to know you. And that is a very different way of seeing things and doing things. It's a cultural gap between the West and the Arab world.
You know these things, being of North African background.
Yes.
Being amongst Muslims in Gibraltar. They are respectful of Shabbos and respectful of Jewish traditions.
This episode of Johnny Gould's Jewish State is brought to you with Strategico, the full-service design marketing agency for your growth-focused business.
Now, we are here because over 2 years ago, the UAE and Israel put above the table what had been going on for many years. The Abraham Accords still is a moment of absolute joy because peace and security go hand in hand. And it's fair to say, isn't it, that Israel and the UAE, young countries, ambitious countries, full of innovation, are coming together to produce a peace dividend in terms of partnership, which is so fast.
I hear you, and I say that this is the great achievement that was made by courageous leaders, I would say. Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, King Hamad of Bahrain, President Donald Trump, and the Prime Minister of Israel at that time, and the now Prime Minister,
he's back,
Bibi Netanyahu. I believe that the Abraham Accords brought apart cousins for a very long time back together. So Jews and Muslims, Arabs and Israelis were always distant to be together. And since we live in the same region, the Middle East, it would be better for us and for our region and for our children and grandchildren to live in peace, prosperity, security, rather than just living in a continuous conflict. So the Abraham Accords, which is named after our forefather, the father of the Ishmaelites, the Arabs, and the father of the Israelites, I would say, the ancient Israelis, the Jews, come together because of that will, I would say, the political will that was made by President Trump and his team, Jared Kushner, Abby Berkowitz, and the rest of the team. They made tremendous work, and it's fruitful.
It really is fruitful, and it's a beautiful name, the Abraham Accords, because it explains so very much. And with the signature of Morocco, Bahrain, Sudan, and the United Arab Emirates, the media has reframed the conflict from the Israeli-Arab conflict, because apparently, I keep being told, it's not a story anymore, to being something called the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which puts into sharp focus where the problem lies.
That is true. And I still think it's a Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And I believe the problem lies in the leaderships in Palestine, in the between the Palestinians and the Israelis. So when I say the leadership, I mean that if you have a serious leadership in the Palestinian people that seeks peace with Israel, I think that case would be far left behind our back. But because there are no serious people that want peace, and of course the Palestinian people are divided when it comes to leadership. You have a terrorist organization like Hamas seeks the death of all of the Jews, and also you have a not so serious partner in Ramallah. This makes things worse, and also you will have somehow more stubborn Israeli government if you don't come up with a solution, and if you don't show the people that there is hope. The Palestinian people, they need hope. They need people. They need leaders who say, "Yeah, you know what? We're gonna make a historic peace agreement with the state of Israel. We recognize the nation right of the Jewish people, the nation state of the Jewish people, and the national right of the Jewish people to live in their ancestral homeland, just like we believe it's our land as well. So the land belongs to both people, and we can live together on this land." But this is not happening, and I don't think it's happening soon. I don't think it's going to happen soon, and this is why you have this problem. But I remember also there was a statement by the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the young, ambitious, great Prince of Saudi Arabia. He said to the Atlantic, "We don't view Israel as an enemy, but as a potential ally if they solve, if the problems with the Palestinians are solved." So Prince Mohammed is saying something clearly. Solve your problems with the Palestinians, we're open. Mm-hmm. He never said something like, "We have an issue with Israel." That's something remarkable, I would say.
It is remarkable. The conditions for Saudi Arabia joining would effectively end the Israeli-Arab conflict once and for all in signature form. And to actually view that in our lifetime, early in our lifetime, God willing, is quite a miracle to think about. What are the conditions left for Saudi to sign?
Saudi Arabia made it clear that there has to be a solution that would satisfy the Palestinians before it joins any final peace agreement with Israel. It made it very clear by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It made it very clear by the King. So I believe that means directly and indirectly a new leadership in the Palestinian people. A new leadership that would be serious to take matters seriously and end this conflict. So Saudi Arabia made it clear many times that there has to be a solution that would end the suffering of the Palestinians and would satisfy the Palestinians. And I don't think that it's going to happen with the current leadership of the Palestinian people, whether it's in Gaza, Hamas, or it's in the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, you want to call it. So this is the condition that Saudi Arabia laid, and this is the condition that Saudi Arabia is sticking to, and this is the condition for Saudi Arabia to have a permanent peace with Israel.
You were born and raised in Saudi Arabia. Here we are.
Jeddah.
My hometown. Your hometown. And the capital city is Abu Dhabi, where you live as a grown-up. But for the benefit of our audiences outside the Arabian Gulf, there is a feeling amongst Gulf Arabs that it's kind of one great landmass. Obviously, there are political boundaries and borders and histories, but you are kind of one people in different countries.
You see, Gulf states, like if you're a Bahraini or a Saudi or an Emirati, you're all the same. So we wear the same clothing, we share the same ideas, major ideas, but we share the same destiny and we think alike mostly. But it's like a one big mass. So I'm so happy to live in the UAE, and I believe that it's actually a great step in my life, and I'm so happy that I'm trying to change the people to the best.
There is a schism amongst the Gulf Arabs, of course, and that is the relationship with Qatar at the moment. Now, things have got better between the two countries, but there are fundamental differences between the two countries.
Well, I hope these things can be solved. Don't forget that we came out of a situation that lasted for 3 years. It would just take time to reconcile, and I really wish that Johnny, to be very honest with you, I'm supportive of peace between peoples. I would never want to distinguish this peace from certain categories or races or colors or regions. So the Qatari people are dear people, and they are great people. I have so many friends who are from Qatar, and I hope that Because to be very honest, especially between Qatar and Bahrain, there are some issues that are not back to track yet. But I hope it gets reconciled soon, and I hope that we can have a greater harmony between our people.
You have a special relationship with Israel because you speak the language.
Yes.
You often tweet in Ivrit, and as an ambassador for your country, let's just say an ambassador with a small A, in a digital age.
I represent myself only.
You represent yourself.
I represent myself, and I want to say that I view Israel and I defend Israel's legitimacy because of my faith. It's very ironic that 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide believe in the prophets of God who were Jews and Israelis, and who lived in a land they called Israel. It's very ironic that people don't see the full picture, but I see the full picture, and this is why I believe Israel is legitimate. Israel is not 75 years old. Israel is 3,000 years old. When King David proclaimed Jerusalem as the national state capital of the Jewish people and of Israel, of United Kingdom, he moved it from Hebron, which is now in Arabic called Al-Khalil, to Jerusalem when he defeated the Jebusites. That was the real birth of Israel. Before, it was divided then by Yerobaam and Rahobaam, and then the northern kingdom you have, the kingdom of Ephraim, or the kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom of Yehuda. And then, of course, the captivity, the Babylonian activity, the Babylonian captivity, and before that, the Assyrian one. But there was history for that particular group of people, the Jews, in the land of Israel that no one can deny. And ironically, it's very connected to our faith, Islam, because the prophets of God, they came from that area. And I always say that Jews are the people who come from Judea.
That's right. I think also that historically one of the reasons why the Emiratis, the Bahrainis, came together with Israel is of course because actually there has never been a war between the Israelis and the Gulf Arabs. Not to mention the fact that Morocco was traditionally the most tolerant of Arab nations to its Jewish people. One of the only diasporas left in the world from the old days is that which belongs in Morocco, and it's fair to say that the biggest influence in terms of Jewish culture in Israel is the literally millions of people in Israel who are descended from Moroccan Jews. I always wondered why it took so long for Morocco to make a peace deal with Israel.
And this is why I say the peace deal with Morocco and Israel, it was not an establishment of relationships. It was a restoring of relationships between Israel and Morocco. And I want to say one thing. It's not only because the Gulf states did not have war with Israel, but also Israel. Okay, so Israel is there. It proved through the years that it was a peaceful country. It did not attack its neighbors. It did not interfere or intervened in its neighbors' affairs. Israel had a golden opportunity to do so, by the way, in 2011 when the Arab Spring struck. Mm-hmm. But Israel decided not to interfere or intervene. Israel decided to say what it always has said, that it's a country that cares about its citizens, and it's the only Jewish state in the world, and it wants to live in peace with its neighbors. Israel would have the opportunity to exploit Arab Spring in 2011, but it didn't.
It wouldn't, yeah.
And it wouldn't. That's the one thing that I always say to those who refute the reasons for Israel to exist. I would say, well, they had the opportunity, but you have another country that took four Arab capitals, and it's in their constitution that they want to export the revolution, and these are real threats, and we need to deal with these threats. But Israel is not posing any threat, and this is why when I tell people, when they ask me, but we all know that Israel has a nuclear capacity. Why is the world not being strict. Why isn't the world being strict with Israel like it's being strict with Iran? I said, well, there is a very big difference. When you have nuclear capacity and you keep threatening your neighbors, that would make people worry. But if you don't talk about it, then people would say, we don't care if it's not in the wrong hands. But if it's in the wrong hands, we would absolutely be cautious about it. And this is why Prince Mohammed bin Salman said, if Iran reaches the level of depletion of uranium that it wants to reach, Saudi Arabia will follow suit immediately. So you cannot. Those powers who don't have control over their capacity are the powers that you should really be cautious from.
The Arab Spring, for many Arab nations, was a bit of a false dawn. It didn't produce the emancipation of the people that we hoped for, except maybe for one or two things. It emboldened some people in Arab nations who aren't perhaps as progressive as the Emirates to say, hey, you know, we miss the Jewish community that we lived amongst. I've experienced that from a fellow Aston Villa supporter who lives in Iraq. And he told me, similar age, he said, my father had a shop next to a Jewish trader. We miss the Israelis. We miss the Jewish people. We'd like them to come back. And of course, that won't happen probably ever, even if they were open and tolerant nations. Now that there's a state of Israel.
I hope it happens when people's minds change, when people's minds...
There'll be a diaspora in the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain because of the tolerance here, but there's always an Israel for those Israeli people to go home to.
Of course, but I cannot speak in the name of anyone, but I will just speak in the name of myself, and I would say that the Jews living here are not living in a diaspora. This is a second home for them as well. You can ask the Israelis who are living here as well. You can ask the Jews, the American Jews, the British Jews. They would say the same. So, but of course, yeah, the necessity of having a Jewish state is something that I would totally understand, and we are so happy that lots of our Jewish friends are building great communities in the Gulf. So this would make things, because it also serves what I say the greatest achievement of the Abraham Accords, which is the Muslim-Jewish rehabilitation.
Yeah.
So this rehabilitation of this relations between Muslims and Jews is the biggest achievement. Not the trade, not the economy, not the tourism, but the rehabilitation of Muslim-Jewish relations.
I am walking around this Congress with thousands of Emirati people. I'm walking amongst them in peace, in cooperation. Mm. First of all, I'm a Westerner with my suit on. More than that, I'm a Jewish person, and I feel really comfortable, very happy, and very at peace here. And sometimes, in certain places, even in my home country, I feel safer here to be able to talk about my identity than in certain places in the UK. That must make you feel quite proud about the mission statement of your country.
Absolutely.
With hashtag tolerance, which was up the walk of tolerance to the Sheikh Zayed Mosque, which we witnessed together.
And yes, exactly. So I also say that to the fellow listeners who listen to your podcast, that there is Ein Shum Antishemiyut B'Ichud HaEmiriyot. Ein Shum Antishemiyut. There is no anti-Semitism. Well, let me just be clear. Maybe there will be few actions here and there, but they are very minor. But the majority of people, Emiratis and non-Emiratis, they look dearly to the Jews and look dearly to other groups as well. Hate speech is criminalized in the UAE. It would cause you a serious trouble if you really spout hate against Jews or non-Jews even. But this is why I believe it's stable, prospering, and people want to live here. They don't want to live here just because of the wealth. They want to live here because of the standards that the UAE made. The standards of living, the standards of coexisting, of tolerance between nations. these are the standards that people want to live. They don't want to live and feel threatened that if they leave their home, they could be stabbed or could be endangered by a gun or anything like that. So this is great.
Finally, Loi, what can manifest itself? You talk about the word fruitful, our discussion, very fruitful. We talked about the parallels between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam as we walked those beautiful halls at the Sheikh Zayed Mosque. How far can this rehabilitation of Muslim-Jewish relations go moving forward?
I believe it's going to move forward really fast when there's a permanent peace in the region, and with people like the Muslim World League, headed by Sheikh Mohammed Al-Isa, he is doing an enormous work to rehabilitate Muslim-Jewish relations. And I believe it's working, but you know what? To be very honest, Johnny, I always say you have to manage your expectations. For 70-plus years, you've been planting a seed inside people's head that Jews and Muslims are enemies. Jews are our enemies. Jews have fangs. And you cannot just change it overnight. But I tell you what, it's changing. I've seen so many people, and I have so many friends who came from Saudi Arabia to the expo last year. They visited the Israeli pavilion. They hang out with Israelis. They talked openly about shared topics and shared interests. And they said, well, we found them like regular people. I said, well, Iman, welcome to the 21st century. Of course, they are ordinary people. Yeah, I met an Israeli who was working as an engineer, and I met an Israeli who was working as in a pharmaceutical company, and we have so many things in common. This is how you engage people. So it is happening. It is changing, maybe with a slow pace, but that's better than nothing. But it will absolutely boost, it will accelerate when the real peace happens, and that when this conflict is ended, and inshallah, may we see it in our lifetime.
Amen. And let's quote Martin Luther King, who quoted someone else in his famous speech, which is that the arc of justice is long, but it does veer towards peace and conciliation.
Amen, ve'amen, as King David said. And we have to live with this mission to bring people together despite our differences, to bring people to a better place, to make our world a better place. And I would quote Michael Jackson for that when he said, when he said, "Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race."
They were both great Americans.
Indeed.
Loyal Ashri, thank you very much for joining me on Johnny Gould's Jewish State, live here in the United Arab Emirates capital, Abu Dhabi.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you so much.
Johnny Gould's Jewish State at the Global Media Congress in Abu Dhabi.
The best guests and their most heartfelt views. A relay of their missions to a worldwide audience. Hi, it's Johnny again, just popping in at the end of this one. 100 episodes along, and I'm proud that it's fast become the podcast of record. This is coverage of the Jewish and Israeli world that just doesn't get properly aired in mass media, and I'm not ashamed to ask for your help. A one-off donation is always gratefully received to support my efforts, but a monthly donation really gets our service off the ground. Your donation can also be made with gift aid, and it's so easy to do. Just click on this, donorbox.org/JG podcast. That's donorbox.org/JG podcast. Are you in? Please share my series with your friends, and thank you for listening.